Coalition spokesperson Arnold Torres says a lack of support from the legislature and from Governor Duke Majan led to an inefficient distribution of the program's funds in California. Torres says this has resulted in the program's loss of $50 million this year and in a cutback of instruction down to 40 hours in some cases. At the ASUC Senate meeting Wednesday night, the topics were free speech and satanic verses. KALX reporter Dan Cerulli has the story.
Does your free speech end where my rights begin? That is the question that was posed by the ASUC Senate on Wednesday night. The Senate passed a bill that will allow two copies of Salman Rushdie's controversial novel, Satanic Verses, to be donated to university libraries. Titled Free Speech, a Sacred Human Right, the bill cited the threats to Rushdie's life and the Berkeley bookstore bombings as reasons why free speech must be protected. Although it did pass, the bill was not met with unanimous approval. Senator Andres Marti was opposed to the bill on the grounds that it singled out one minority group.
It's going to feed into the extreme racist backlash that Middle Easterners have felt in this country always and repeatedly, especially when the Iran crisis happened. And I don't see why we should feed into this.
A crucial step toward passing the bill was the support of Senator Shahed Amanullah, who is a member of the Progressive Muslim Alliance. Amanullah says it was important to defend the right to free speech, even though the book was offensive to him personally. The author of the bill, Senator Dave Perrin, agreed, saying that free speech only needs to be protected when someone is offended.
Because free speech does not protect the neutral, the inoffensive, and the politically correct. It protects the politically incorrect, the offensive, the pernicious, and the meek and the offended can stay home.
The books will be placed in the Eshelman and University libraries as soon as possible. For KALX News, Dan Cerulli.
In other action, the ASUC Senate approved a bill that calls for increased science requirements for admission to UC Berkeley. Well, two antique lamps at the entrance to the Caldecott Tunnel will be lit for the first time in decades tonight. The lamps were first lit when the tunnel opened in 1937, but were too energy-consuming to maintain. Modern lights now line the tunnel, but Caltrans recently decided the entrances need more light. Instead of buying new lights, Caltrans decided to use the antique lamps with modern, energy-saving bulbs. Well, what do Tacoma, New York City, Portland, and Boulder have in common? They're the only cities in the United States with needle exchange programs to combat the AIDS virus. San Francisco may be joining that list. The city's AIDS Foundation holds a forum on needle exchange today when representatives from all four cities will share their expertise on the subject. Since intravenous drug users are at risk of contracting AIDS through sharing needles, AIDS Foundation spokesperson Les Pappas says the logical step might be to give them a supply of clean ones.
I don't think anybody believes that IV drug users prefer to share needles. The reason that they do it is because of the scarcity. So if we provided more needles, there would be less needle sharing.
A California law stands in the way of needle exchange program. It's currently a misdemeanor for an individual to have needles without a medical prescription. But Pappas says the severity of the AIDS crisis may earn cities like San Francisco a break from the law.
There are probably some other kinds of approaches, such as simply not enforcing the law within San Francisco. Perhaps getting some kind of directive from the state health commissioner saying that, you know, given this epidemic, I'm going to waive this particular law.
Pappas says the foundation has received encouragement from San Francisco Mayor Art Agnes and the Board of Supervisors. He adds that some European nations and Australia have had similar programs in operation for several years. Handguns have replaced poison as the weapon of choice for women who commit suicide, so says Dr. Garen Wintemute, a researcher at the University of California at Davis.
Most people aren't aware of this, that firearms have been the leading method of committing suicide for women since the early 1970s.
Dr. Wintemute says the suicide rate for women has risen, and the percentage of young women who choose guns to kill themselves has grown.
Among young women, the 15 to 24 age group, it's 50%.
Companies which make guns are marketing directly to women, with one manufacturer reportedly readying a line of guns in designer colors. Dr. Wintemute offered an observation.
We've learned not only with suicide but also with homicide and with unintentional shootings, that there's a common denominator, which is one of the leading contributing factors to all those three categories of death. And that is easy access to a loaded weapon kept around the home, in many cases specifically known to be kept in the home for protection.
Dr. Wintemute says that firearms in the home can easily convert an emotional impulse into tragedy. Well, coming up, President Bush denies that his is a do-nothing administration, but still gives no details. Stay with us. Judge in the Iran-Contra trial of Oliver North says former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane has given equivocal and confusing testimony. The prosecution had been trying to pin down McFarlane on the question of who wrote two misleading letters to Congress. The 1985 letters carried McFarlane's signature, but North is accused of helping to prepare them. Also in Washington, the president continues to hammer home his no new taxes pledge. Speaking to lawmakers in South Carolina yesterday, Mr. Bush said hard choices had to be made by Congress and the White House in order to meet his budget. The president has been criticized for not dealing with specifics, and he didn't offer any. Instead, he spoke of gains.
Because of economic growth, tax revenues are going up with no new taxes.
Mr. Bush said the federal government will have a lot more money in the coffers.
Our projections show that without raising taxes, the federal government will get an additional $80 billion to spend.
Meanwhile, Mr. Bush's new choice for defense secretary is enjoying a lot smoother sailing than the first nominee. If John Towers' time before the Senate was a nightmare, the confirmation process for Dick Cheney may seem like a dream. The Wyoming congressman is expected to get the full Senate seal of approval today, a day after the Armed Services Committee voted to confirm him as defense secretary. After a bitter Senate debate on Towers' personal life, lawmakers voted down his nomination and Cheney took his place. Well, the Discovery astronauts are up and going about their final full day in space before tomorrow's scheduled landing. Today's schedule calls for taking more pictures. The shuttle has been photographing evidence of environmental damage. As this morning's activities got underway, the spaceship and mission control traded musical greetings with Stars and Stripes Forever and a song from the animated movie Snow White. And according to one report, authorities have made some progress in their investigation of the December Pan Am bombing that killed 270 people. The Times of London says police know who planted the bomb and where that person is. The newspaper also says authorities plan to release more details next week, but officials are denying reports in another publication that a suspect has been arrested. The Pan Am jumbo jet blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland after taking off from London. And now, and with a look at what happened last night in basketball, here's Dave Miller with sports.
Thanks, Pete. Well, this morning on the way to the station, there was a guy driving in front of me who had a Garfield doll tied to a rope, which was tied to his rear bumper. And old Garfield was getting quite a ride there. And you might say Cal had the University of Hawaii tied to their rear bumper last night as they toasted the Hurricanes by 16 points, 73 to 57, in a first-round game of the NIT at Harmon Arena. The Bears did it with balanced scoring and a lot of heart, playing without Roy Fisher and a banged-up Matt Beazard and Keith Smith. Leonard Taylor led the way with 16 points. Matt Beazard had 13, as did Ryan Drew. And it was a fairly close ball game at the half as Cal led 34-26. However, thanks largely to a 19-4 run in the second half, Cal was able to pull away in a very emotional ball game. The Bears' defense was able to shut down Hawaii's leading scorer, Reggie Cross, who finished with just 14 points. Cal's next game will be Monday versus Connecticut. That game's on the road at the Hartford Civic Center in Connecticut. And Connecticut is the defending NIT champions. Looking at the scoreboard from the NCAA tournament last night, Duke 90, South Carolina State 69, Arizona all over Robert Morris 94-60. Louisville gets by Arkansas Little Rock 76-71. Oklahoma in a tight one 72-71 over Eastern Tennessee State. Tennessee State didn't score in the final 6.5 minutes. Middle Tennessee State in a big upset over Florida State, 97-83. Ball State over Pitt, 68-64. Illinois, 77. McNeese State, 71. Virginia, 100. Providence, 97. And, of course, Clemson, 83. St. Mary's, 70. Siena, 80. Stanford, 78. Both of those teams are out of the tournament, and Cal, only the only Bay Area team left. The Warriors will be in action tonight. They're 35-27. They'll host the Atlanta Hawks at the Coliseum tonight at 7:30. And in baseball, the 21-4 Golden Bears open a three-game series versus the Arizona Wildcats this afternoon at Evans Field. First pitch will be at 2 p.m. KALX will bring it to you with Mike Rice and Mike Wogelener at the mic. Swimming, Stanford versus Cal, 2 p.m. at Speaker Pool. And women's track and field will be in action with the Golden Bear Meet of Champions at 11 o'clock this morning. Have a great Friday. This is Dave Miller for Calix Sports.
Thanks, Dave. Did you go to the game last night?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. No, you missed a good one. That's probably the best I've ever seen the whole team play the whole game.
Yeah, it's real surprising. They're still, you know, who would think that Cal would be around and Stanford and St. Mary's are out? But yeah, that's basketball.
Hawaii had a tough game last night. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right.
Now a look at weather. Well, to put a spring back in your step and some spirit to your St. Patrick's Day, you should take full advantage of this morning sunshine. Temperatures around the Bay Area right now are Berkeley, it's 49. 1 degree less, 48 in Oakland. And across the bay in San Francisco, it's 51. There's a chance of rain with high temperatures from 55 to 60 degrees today, and the winds are from the west about 10 to 20 miles per hour. That about does it for St. Patrick's Day, KALX Morning News. My special thanks to engineer Lucy Valadares. Tune us in every weekday at 8 a.m., noon, and 5:30 p.m. for all the latest news, weather, and sports. For the entire KALX News team, I'm Peter Dudley. Have a pleasant Friday. Now back to Lisa with more great KALX music.